Interesting that our next guest comes on today. It's not really the same thing because it wasn't like he just crossed the floor, but with the Alberta politics unfolding the way it has today, you know, how John Tortorella, Vigneault, and how that all kind of transpired. Sometimes it's not great when you change sides. Matt Sakaris joins us from TSN in Vancouver. Matty, welcome back to the show. How you doing, my man?
Very well, Jason. Happy holidays, and I assure you I will not defect from the Wild Rose.
Well, I'm not even sure. Is there even a party left? Who knows?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I was gonna say, she who would be premier once upon a time, according to the polls. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. The polls. You know what the polls are? The polls are like preseason predictions in the NHL. Rarely are they accurate.
Oh, my goodness. They're even worse. I mean, not only did they get your election patently wrong a couple of years ago, they followed up by getting ours here in BC pretty wrong as well. So, yeah, tough day to be a pollster.
The Vancouver Canucks, man, the Canucks on the verge of maybe not being the best team in Canada in the Western Conference as the Winnipeg Jets are surging. And the Canucks, you know, after a really good start, just kind of playing 500 hockey here for the last month. And anything changing, tougher schedule? What are you seeing?
Yeah. Well, and they played awful hockey over the last week, Jason. They've lost four in a row here, which is a season high, and they go into a game tonight against Dallas, who's had their numbers, beating them five straight, including put a seven spot on them earlier in the season down Texas way. So it's a big game for Vancouver tonight. It wasn't too long ago. It was a couple weeks ago. They were right there with the best and the best in the NHL, you know, vying for number one overall spot. But haven't played good hockey, went on a 500 Eastern road trip. It looked really good. I mean, they got wins in Washington and Pittsburgh. They shut out the Penguins with Sidney in a lineup early, and then all of a sudden it collapsed once they got to Ontario. The big issue here for the Canucks is that Dan Hamhuis has been missing for the last little while. He's their best defensive defenseman. Usually takes all the top matchups against the best offensive players. We knew they were a little thin on defense going into the season. And I would suggest that a lot of that is has proved true here in the last week or so.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, a guy like that who, you know, is an Olympian, when you take that type of player out of your lineup, man, it really exposes a lot of holes in your team because he plays so much.
Well, yeah, and I mean, the thing was is that, you know, they weren't one of these teams that was relying on a 28, 29-minute number one defenseman. But he did give them enough ability to balance – to balance out three pairs and play everyone a fair bit and have an effective roster, really, with, you know, one through skater 18, all of them playing some sort of role and not just a minor role. But, you know, without him, they have really struggled. He's going to switch up some of his defense pairs tonight in hopes of playing a little more solidly on the defensive end. The game Saturday here against the Rangers was just embarrassing. I mean, it was 3-0 New York 8 minutes in. They were giving up 3-on-1s, even 4-on-1s at one point during the game. And Willie Desjardins said this week, the head coach, he said, look, you know, we want to be aggressive. We want our defensemen pinching off the points and getting involved in you know, outnumbered down low situations on the offensive side. But based on what we've seen here in the last little while, we have to call off the dogs a little bit. We have to be a little bit more secure in our own end.
Matt Sakaris joining us from TSN in Vancouver. Matt, after last year, I'm sure Canuck fans, everybody's excited that their team's just competitive and they're going, but they want to stay near the top. We're starting to see a little bit of a separation, usually, you know, and mainly coming from the Central Division. But right now, you know, Anaheim, Vancouver, San Jose, L.A., you know, all in that Pacific Division. If you look at Vancouver, to get out of the Pacific, man, it's pretty tough. How much, you know, do they even have a prayer now that they don't have Kessler, or do you think they're going to have to make a deal between now and the deadline if they want to have any prayer of going far in the postseason?
I think the proof will be in the pudding when Hamhuis comes back healthy.
Okay.
They were playing awfully good hockey with four balanced lines and the capacity to win games by either locking down defensively or scoring goals with Hamhuis in the lineup. Minus Hamhuis, it's just been a mess, particularly of late. So let me get back to you on that. Here's what I will say. I've been really impressed with Anaheim, even without Corey Perry, being able to put together the streak they have. I know L.A. doesn't look good right now. I've had people on my show tell me that L.A. may be in a little bit of trouble here. I refuse to buy it until we see it in March and April, a Kings team that's still struggling. Yeah. And frankly, Jason, if they get in, I'm a big L.A. fan because I just think they're built for playoff hockey. I'm not so sure San Jose is all they're cracked up to be.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure San Jose is even the team they were last year when they weren't able to get that far. So when you say get out of the Pacific, well, California has been Vancouver's downfall in the last couple of years. They got another California trip coming up here after Christmas. Do I think they could beat Anaheim or L.A. in a seven-game series right now? Probably not. But let's see what happens come April.
Yeah, the Central right now with Chicago, St. Louis, and Nashville, that might be even harder. Those teams are playing great. St. Louis,
especially the way Nashville's playing.
Yeah.
Look at Pacioretty versus the rest of the field goaltender-wise. I mean, it's just extraordinary right now. And young Forsberg seems to be making a big difference. So, yeah, Nashville, that division looks as good as ever. Frankly though, Jason, I think Anaheim is very good. I'm quite confident that L.A., if they get in the playoffs, will be a very difficult out. I'm not so sure beyond that the Pacific has anything on the Central.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you there. I want to ask you about Alex Burrows. But for a four-year stretch from 2009 to 2012, and even a little bit in the lockout, this guy was, he had 4 years in a row where at least 26 goals, was averaging 30 goals, actually, for four straight years, had 13 in a shortened season, which puts him around 23. But, last year, obviously, everybody knows the brutal season for him. And now this year, six goals in 25 games, not barely on pace for 20. Have the wheels fallen off Burrows? Is he just not the same player since the injury? What's going on with him?
This year, I think you can also add he's not the same player given that he's been taken off the Twins line.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, let's face it, Alex Burrows, turned himself into a very good NHL player, a guy who could play in all situations and a guy who had more finish than, your typical undrafted minor league free agent who had to spend time in the ECHL. But he was a minor league free agent who had to spend time in the ECHL. I mean, I'm just not so sure that he was your quintessential, 25, 30 goal scorer. He did get to play with the Twins, who made him look pretty good. And frankly, he got them, really going because he got them playing with better pace during their heyday when they were winning scoring championships and President's trophies. He's playing with Chris Higgins and Nick Bonino this year on the second line. And quite frankly, that line has been atrocious offensively here for the last little while. Bonino, for me, isn't the quintessential setup guy, so maybe he's getting fewer opportunities. And that's something that I think Vancouver's going to have to look at going forward here, Jason, because, they get either power play or even strength. They can count on that first line to produce somehow, some way. They have been getting a lot of scoring from their bottom six. Guys like Yannick Hansen, Sean Mathias in the early part of this season. It makes you wonder whether that can continue or whether or not they need a little bit more punch on the wings on that second line.
Radim Verbata's fit in just like a glove with those two. And, he's a pretty good goal scorer before. But, man, that line is very dangerous. So one other player who always gets a lot of talk in Edmonton, usually for the wrong reasons, Matty, is Cassian. Is there any consistency in his – now, I know he's been injured lot this year, right? But is he a difference maker? Like, since he's been hurt, does he actually – his absence, even though his point totals aren't high, do they miss him?
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
And I certainly wouldn't go as far as difference maker.
Okay.
Zach Cassian, in very brief flashes, shows that he's a top six power forward with fantastic hands, some finish, and even some playmaking ability. More often than not, Zach Cassian shows himself to be a guy who's still a bit of a mystery on night to night, can be a defensive adventure, and can take silly penalties. So I wouldn't say they've missed him. I mean, maybe they've missed a little bit of his size and bang and crash in different games here, but I certainly don't think they've lost four in a row here and come back to the pack because they've been without Zach Cassian.
I have watched firsthand for many years an organization rush young kids along, and too often sometimes to their detriment. What do you think of the Bo Horvat handling? The guy's playing 10 minutes a night.
Yeah, I got to say, you know, given the role that they've thrust him in, Jason, I think it's going to work out here. I mean, he's their fourth line center.
Okay.
The interesting thing is he's their best faceoff guy, period. And he might actually even be their best defensive center. In fact, even be their strongest center, depending on who you consider a center iceman on this team. So I wouldn't say he's been rushed at all. I think he's frankly playing exactly what he should be playing right now in a complementary role. They seem to be giving him a little bit more responsibility when he shows that he earned it. He's not going back to the Canadian World Junior team, which is a bit of a shame for Canada, because I think he would have really shone on the North American ice surfaces here in Toronto and Montreal and been a very effective two-way player for the Canadian World Junior team. But, yeah, I mean, he's earned a roster spot, and you can see the growth, maybe not game to game, but, you know, week to week, and certainly through the first couple of months here. Jason, there have been nights where that's been their best line.
Wow.
Bo Horvat and a couple of fourth-line wingers, Derek Dorsett and oftentimes Yannick Hansen. So, for the most part, I think they've got it right thus far with Bo Horvat. My concern would be it's a long, long NHL season, and is he going to hit a rookie wall and look very less, you know, not look as effective in the final quarter of the campaign? But right now, I'd say so far, so good.
Well, as Struds has always said, from when he played, the second half of the season is significantly harder. The games don't get easier. They only get harder for young guys.
And I would think that as he starts to get physically worn, I mean, we were talking to him the other day, and, you know, he talked about just what an upgrade it is in just pure physical strength between junior hockey and the National Hockey League. And this is a pretty strong and strapping kid. But, you know, those guys who do go straight from junior to the National Hockey League without sort of understanding and learning what man strength is in the American Hockey League, you do wonder whether that either, A, instantly puts them at a disadvantage, hasn't been, you know, too bad for Horvat right now, or B, just over the long haul of that first season, wears them down a little.
Matty, always great to talk to you, man. We'll do it again soon. All the best to you and yours over Christmas.
And to you, Jason. Happy holidays.